good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakanjahare. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and my native name is Distant Thunder. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we do news, and interviews, things like that. We're here for the community. And speaking of community, we're simulcasting with KFAI today, which we're really excited. So hello, Madison. Hello, the Twin Cities. And hello, KFAI. We're really excited because it's Indian Month. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, it's Indian Month again for me every month. Yeah. Hey, so go ahead, Wen.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you don't need to live in the Twin Cities or Minnesota to call them.
I just heard we're blowing up their phone with these PSAs.
Those poor guys. Yeah. But they do really great work, so... They're helping a lot of people.
And we're going to have them on again soon, and then their phone will blow up even more. So that's exciting, and that's a good problem to have. Speaking of good problems to have, today is MMIW Day. Also, Cinco de Mayo Day. We want to say hello to our relatives in the South for their great day also. Ogama is here in the studio, and funny thing, Ogama has been with us for how long, Wendy? Almost 2 years?
Yeah.
Or more than 2 years? And this is like the sixth time we've met her.
I know, isn't that funny? And it's the first time we're in the studio together at the same time during the show. So she's usually up north in Brainerd from her house there and her own little studio there. And we're all together today. So
yeah, and awesome. I think the last person we had in here, and it was COVID was first starting out, was State Senator Mary Kunish. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be on later talking about MMIWR. And what happened at the Capitol today. Mm-hmm. And I think Ogama is going to too. So, you know, watch this. You people that are watching this on Facebook and YouTube, I'm going to point to Ogama and start her. Welcome, Ogama, with the news.
Hi, Annie Bujo, everybody. It's Ogama Ganuakwe. I, of course, would love to touch base on the MMIWR MN event that happened at the Capitol today in Minnesota. And it was beautiful. There was thousands of red dresses that were installed on the Capitol lawn as an art piece. And what the artist Rory Wakeemup did, shout out to you, Rory, it was beautiful, is that the dresses were cut in such a way that when you line them up so that they were touching, there were actually hearts. So you could see hearts in between all of the dresses. Nicole Matthews from the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition hosted. She was basically the MC for the event, and she did a great job as well. So shout out to you and Angelica and all of the other people who came together to make this possible. It was really a special event to be at today.
I think I was Angelica's favorite teacher. No, go on.
If you didn't get a chance to participate in anything MMIWR related today, there is still the option to sign up and join Minnesota Representative Heather Keeler on a virtual walk and run. That event is actually going the 5th through the 8th, and you can sign up at runsignup.com and search the MMIWR link. Otherwise, you can check Native Roots Radio, and I will share the link there. When you register, you do get a t-shirt, although they won't send it to you until after the event now because the registration to receive a shirt by May 5th has passed. But they will send you a shirt afterwards, so that's a really good way to participate in that. If you missed anything today, or maybe if your area wasn't able to do anything for MMIWR today.
Hey, speaking of shirts, Ogama, our store's up, and I see you're two wearing the Resist, and I'm wearing the old school Awake Native Roots Radio with the eyeball that... Wendy Pilot design. So just go to nativerootsradio.com if you want to check out some swag and stickers and fun things like that.
Yes, exactly. We do have a shop up, and that's super exciting. We have some other stuff on there, too, not just T-shirts. We've got jean jackets with the Resist, and there's also some really beautiful prints from a photographer who took pictures at Standing Rock and a few other places. So those are really fantastic up there. So, of course, as always, I want to get into how we can stop Line 3. The Defund Line 3 Global Day of Action is this Friday, May 7th. So again, we're targeting Chase, Citi, Bank of America, RBC, and TD. And the target asset manager is BlackRock. You can still organize an event in your area by going to stopthemoneypipeline.org. If you're in Minnesota, this Friday at 10 a.m. is going to be the Defund Line 3 Global Day of Action in Duluth, and they are going to the Wells Fargo building on Arrowhead Road in Duluth for that event, and that is with Loaves and Fishes Community and Camp McGeezy. Coming up, more events for the water. You can get it on your calendar now. May 27th through May 30th is going to be the NIBE Gathering 2021.
Just before my birthday.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Which is going to be honoring the sacredness of birthing water. So it's a four-day gathering that centers around water is life and everything needs to live and reflects on the three areas, which is living a good life, all of our relations, and Anishinaabe Moin, which is the language. It's going to run afternoons from 1 to 5 p.m., and they'll be hosting the gathering virtually via an online platform. You can register in advance at the event. Again, it's called NIBI, N-I-B-I, Gathering 2021, and we will post that link on Native Roots Radio as well. The deadline to register for kits was April 30th, but registration is still accepted after this date, but kits will not be available for mailing out, so just keep that in mind. You can check the Facebook page at NIBI Water Gathering for more details on the agenda as well as Native Roots Radio. Other exciting news in Indian country in South Dakota, the Indian Collective announced the first Indigenous-led school is coming to South Dakota. So Amy Zazu is an Indian's education equity organizer, and she said the state standards label a lot of Indigenous culture in a curriculum as an add-on and rather than a core. And with this new school that they are working on, the add-ons and the core will actually be flipped. So Native and Indigenous culture is going to be foundational. And the school is also not going to be exclusive to Indigenous youth. Anybody can apply. They are eager to see what happens. Indian Collective is really excited to see the results that are going to come from that school. And it's going to be named Ocheti Sekoin. And the name refers to the Lakota and Dakota and Nakota people's ancestral lands, which is right, ancestral lands right beneath our feet. The school is planned to be built by the fall semester of 2022, but the location is yet to be determined. The other piece I just want to touch on is that, you know, we talk about a lot in Minnesota and Portland, the number of people who have experienced exposure to tear gas. And there's a study that has found that people who menstruate or have menses have reported abnormal menstruation after exposure to tear gas. And there's really not a lot of medical information on what happens when you've been exposed to tear gas other than the immediate incapacitating effects. So I'm going to see if I can find some more information on it. Maybe Wendy and I can hash out a conversation about that at a later date, but that's definitely something that people need to be aware of. These things have long-term effects. And by people, I mean the powers that be that are launching these types of non-violent or non-lethal items at people who are exercising their right to protest.
Wow. That's awesome. Is that it, Ogama?
That's what I have for today because we were out and about all day today.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I just want to tell people who are watching us on Facebook and Ogama's here and we have no masks on. We're allowed to do that because we're all vaccinated. And Dr. Osterholm from the University of Minnesota said vaccinated people can get together inside and party up. So,
that's what we're doing, isn't it?
That's it. We're partying up here at the studio in St. Paul.
So we're going to have next State Senator Mary Kunish, and then after that, Robert Blake with Solar Bear, Bob Blake from Red Lake, and then we're going to have a rap session, I guess, right, at the end?
Sounds good.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Aneen. I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Well, Wendy, I know you had some Zoom meetings today that you had to attend. Yeah.
I should have went down there for a little while. I'm kind of regretting it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Ogum and I were down there, and we got to see our Friday guest, State Senator Mary Kunish, and we had a little intro there with the Lieutenant Governor saying, "You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake." Mm-hmm. She did an unbelievable speech there and then introduced State Senator Mary Kunish on how proud we all should be and yes. are with the great job she did on that bill as a House representative. Welcome, State Senator Mary Kunish.
How are you doing?
I just unmuted you.
We just unmuted you.
How you doing? Great to see you.
I'm good. It was a really exciting day, and so I'm just sort of coming down from the excitement of it all.
It was. And wasn't it cool to see Ogama there? We never see her because she's up in the deep occupied north, and she's in the studio right now.
I was watching her as she was speaking earlier. It's good to see you there. It was actually really super to see a lot of people there. When was the last time we were around that many people? I mean, it was outside, and like you mentioned, masks are still in the fashion at this point. But yeah, it was fabulous to be out and about and see all those great folks and the incredible art project that they put together there was really impressive.
You know, we're in Madison, Chicago, and the Twin Cities, and we're also on KFAI today. And I'm wondering if you could explain to the people listening to us in Madison KFAI how you got that bill going, and because you did a really compelling story today, and just get everyone caught up about how well Minnesota's doing with this bill and with doing and recognizing missing, murdered Indigenous relatives.
Right. I kind of feel like we might be leading on it in the nation here in Minnesota. So it all began back in 2018 after I had heard the initial report coming out of Canada on their missing and murdered Indigenous women. And I heard about, you know, the MMIW movement a little bit, but I hadn't really heard the stories like I heard when the radio program out of Canada interviewed folks. And that was so compelling to me because it just broke my heart. The number of women that had gone missing and families never knew what happened to them, or they were murdered and there was no justice or an investigation on those. And, it's not just nowadays happening, though it does, but this has been historic for generation after generation. So as a new legislator, I wasn't really sure what I could do, but I knew I needed to do something. And so that summer, I went back into the legislature and asked the research folks to help me put together just a rough preliminary bill to create a Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force so that we could understand the situation here in Minnesota. And then I reached out to the community and asked them, please, to come help me, you know, fill this bill in and craft it to the best that we can. And so we had a convening, and we had probably a dozen people around a table, and then just as many on the phones. And we went through the bill line by line and decided who was necessary to have on the task force. And we surely wanted to have community input. And that meant survivors, families of whose loved ones were missing, resource folks that work with violence against women in Indian country, as well as like the coroner and the sheriffs and the police and all these other groups. And then that's really what built that piece of legislation. And from there, it was the community that really helped us contact the legislators. Even though I did my bit, it was really them coming into the Capitol, literally, physically into the Capitol, sharing their stories, ACO, American Indian Housing up in Duluth, Minnesota, put together this incredible postcard and had folks, you know, write on it why it was so important. They brought me a stack probably 4 inches high. And then they went around and distributed those to our senators and to the House members. And we eventually got that bill passed in 2019. And then had 18 months and very little money from the legislature to do our task force. And that report was completed in December.
Yeah, that was exciting. And I remember going and listening to our relatives speak on behalf, Mary Lyons and all these other warriors speaking upon and giving testimony. Mm-hmm. So it's been it's a coined phrase, but that's what a village looks like. You know, we all band together. And thank you so much again, Pini Gigi, for your leadership, because really, it's awesome. It really is. I feel like Chris Farley interviewing Paul McCartney going, "It's awesome. Wow, it's really good. Oh, that was awesome." Yeah, right. But really, it is awesome.
It yeah, is really incredible when we think, you know, within 4 years, the general awareness and the attentiveness that outside folks have towards this issue. Just early this morning at 7:30, I did a presentation to my local Rotary Foundation, and now I've had a couple other of them contact me and say, "Would you come talk to us about it?" We've been on some local and national discussions around it. We're scheduled for an international discussion this summer, and so I always say it's one thing if you know what's happening, you don't even know about it. You know, you're ignorant and rightfully so, but once you know about it, you're so compelled, I mean, like morally and civilly compelled to take some action. And people want to do something, and they want to eliminate this terrible, terrible historic pandemic of missing and murdered women.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Some great speakers today. The round dance with the jingle dress dancers. And to me, the overwhelming thing was looking at all those red dresses. Well, no, I should say this, State Senator. What really got me, too, is the opportunity. I don't know if you were there yet when Nicole Matthews asked people to shout out names. That always gets me, too.
Yeah, it's, you know, for so long we hid this whole tragedy. People, families didn't talk about it. It was so painful. And nobody was listening, not the media, not the police. Nobody was doing anything about them. So oftentimes somebody would go missing and they just were like, "Why am I going to report it? They won't do anything about it." And so family loved ones get lost. Their names get forgotten. I know my mother was enrolled in Standing Rock. She had a cousin, Elsie, who went missing for a while. And then family finally got a call one day that she died. And they're, you know, it says, you know, suicide, but that's what happens too often, is that these women die by violent means, and then they just consider it a suicide, and that's it. And so those hurts, those loved ones were buried so deep. And one of our worries was that once we start talking about it and asking people to share their stories, would we be re-traumatizing them? And so I asked that question to the community then. I said, you know, should we even be doing this? Is this going to cause too much pain? And the resounding response was, no, we have to do this. We have to talk about it. We have to remember and remind people about our loved ones that went missing. And so, yes, when you hear those the names of those people that have gone missing, you know, it brings them back to life. And so I think this is actually very almost cathartic or therapeutic for a lot of families, where they can start talking about that loved one again. Mm-hmm. And it's not painful. Now they're going to rejoice and replay that life that was theirs.
Wow. Well said. We're with State Senator Mary Kunish, who's the star of Friday's show on Native Roots Radio. We asked her to come on today because we had the Missing Murdered Indigenous Relatives ceremony at the state capitol with the red dresses and the dancing and the smudging. So I wanted to say, Pini Gigi, thank you so much for stopping in with your busy day to celebrate this day of strength and resilience, and an opportunity for us to say, Pini Gigi, thank you for all the work you do for Native Americans in Minnesota, all across Turtle Island, and your constituents. And so thank you again, State Senator Mary Kunish.
You're welcome. Thanks all of you too in the studio for sharing this with the public.
Awesome. And then we'll see you Friday, right?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Sounds great. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And up next, we have Bob Blake from Red Lake, and he's with the Solar News.
He's the Solar Bear with the Solar News.
Okay, stay with us.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are Haluza Nation.
Welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Which put that great thing on today at the Capitol. Yep. It was
MMI
just amazing.
R.
Yep, relatives. And I like how they put that R in this year.
They changed it from women to relatives because not only women are
Two-spirit.
Yes, two-spirit.
Little boys.
Young
everyone,
men.
So.
Men, yeah.
So it's Wednesday, and the week flies by, and another week flies by that we don't have our swag. But hey, it's Bob Blake. How you doing, Robert? We are so pleased to always have Robert on Wednesdays, and he talks about things that are happening all over Turtle Island, solar wise, energy wise, and he's got his finger on the heartbeat of what's happening out there. So we're really always really happy to have you. Welcome, Robert Blake.
I've got Robert and Ogama swag. I just don't have Wendy swag.
I know. I heard you gave it away.
To Ilhan Omar.
Don't say that, dude. Don't say that. We'll have to scratch that out there. Okay, let's get to some good solar news.
Yeah, let's do it.
They are focusing in on putting solar panels on landfills, Robert. So where we throw our garbage at, where they dump all the garbage, there is a big push to put solar on landfills. What do you think about that? Is that pretty cool or what?
That's really cool. Really, really cool.
And it's getting to the point where, like, I think they're just seeing that, you know, that these landfills could be full of solar panels and we could have all the garbage underneath. And, you know, really, we're not going to be bothering the garbage. So, I mean, it's a win-win situation. So,
yeah, it's wasted land anyway, so it might as well be used for something good. That's perfect.
Right. And Wendy, you were brought up by one of those things that turned into a mountain in New York.
On Long Island in Oceanside, New York. When we first moved there when I was a kid, about 7 or 8 years old, it was flat land. And over the years, you know, the trash just kept getting higher and higher and higher and higher. And it's like three tiers now. And it's really high. It's almost like a ski mountain. And they have the methane pipes, you know, burning the gas all the time from the garbage. And on a hot summer, humid day, you could just smell the garbage. It's kind of gross. But it would be great if there were solar panels on that pile of
garbage.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that, Wendy. That's crazy. I mean, human beings are going to
the dump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Gross. Yeah.
Well, let's stay on the East Coast right now, because another story here is Joe Biden wants to create a huge offshore wind farm off of Nantucket. 130 turbines, Wendy, off of Nantucket.
Wow, that would be in the ocean?
This turbine project would be the largest wind turbine farm in the world.
Wow, that's amazing. We could use something absolutely.
But Wendy, I want to ask you a question. What do you think about that? What do you think about America, like, trying to think big again? Like, this would be like a moonshot almost to do this project. I mean, don't you feel like we need to start thinking big again in this country?
Yes, thinking big and thinking renewable and getting rid of the pipelines. And like you always talk about, you know, getting jobs, renewable jobs. Let's get the kids out of high school and get them trained in these sustainable economy and get more solar energy so we don't burn out the earth. I think we have till like 2050, don't we, before we're in big trouble here?
We're in big trouble right now.
Yeah, we're in big trouble already.
Well, yeah. So like
before it's not reversible.
Yeah, they're totally correct. Like, it's 1.5 degrees Celsius is what we're trying to avoid by 2050 before we start seeing the worst effects of climate change. But a lot of experts are saying we really have this next decade to get our act together. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell everybody, I was on a call today with the Department of Energy. And Robert, I got to listen to Aaliyah Johns today.
Talk about
her plans for tribal country. And she is remarkable, by the way. I think she's incredible. But I want to say, though, that, you know, we have our work cut out for us. And from the way that I understand from the Biden administration, they're looking for everybody and anyone that's got some great ideas to push us forward, because I think they really feel, Robert, and they didn't say this in the call, but this is my own, this is Solar Bear's just assumption, right? That they feel like they should have started in the Obama administration, like they waited too long. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So they're at red alert too. And that's a good thing. And we should be, because we don't know what's going to happen, Robert, in the next election cycle too, because they need to take care of business as fast and as quickly and energy-wise right away, because we don't know if we're going to lose the Senate or lose the House. You know, the Republicans are doing everything they can to stop voting and all the fairness and all our people, and hopefully we'll persevere and push it out there. But we got to really make hay in the next. I mean, I'm glad, you know, he's done a phenomenal job in a lot of ways the first 100 days. But let's get going. We got, 600 days for 2 years? 670 days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really kind of felt like that, Robert, on the call today, that they are in, like, red alert. They, like, want to move. And so that's a good thing, but it really speaks to the urgency of the reason why we really have to move faster here. So I'm really excited about – I hope that Biden gets this wind project going over off of Nantucket. And California is going to create the, it's called the Crimson Solar Project. It's on 2,000 acres of federal land, okay? It's out in Blythe, California. It's a $550 million project, and it's the biggest solar project in the United States, and this is going to be going down too. So, I mean, just think about this, right? Like, you need federal like, you know, approval for this big wind project, which they're getting, right? You need federal approval to create this big solar project in California, which you need federal approval. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think those are two very good instances, Robert, where like this administration is moving forward.
Exactly. Exactly. We're excited. So, Robert, if you don't have another thing, and you might have another story with us, I'm just excited to see what's been Solar Bear. What's the latest on Solar Bear? What have you been working on?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're hopefully now, I mean, we're going up next week, right, on the 12th to to start installing. The weather has been kind of funny, so it you know, it snows in April. I mean, we just saw that, you know, and so, yeah, so that's what we plan on doing next week and getting the guys together and start working. So that's pretty exciting. We had to order some new parts too, because we took a look at the roof and we realized that there are some different screws that we had to use on the steel roof that we're working on. There's a lot of technical stuff, everyone, that goes into these projects that people don't understand.
Can you remind your audience what you're working on? Because we're live at KFAI tonight because of Native American Month in Minnesota. And, of course, we are in Madison, too. So can you tell our audience?
Yeah, we're finishing up a 200-kilowatt solar system on the Oshkemijitata building in Red Lake, on the Red Lake Nation. And but we have to put these other two solar systems on two different buildings. So we did the big building, right? The big building is done. Mm-hmm. It's just these other two buildings that we have to do. And then we're installing a battery. We're installing a vanadium flow battery, which is going to be delivered in the next couple of weeks from China, which it took us a whole year to get, actually. So this is new technology. It's really exciting because, obviously, this is the adult training center on the reservation. And so the students there are going to be able to work with this new technology. And I'm super excited about that because this is where we're going. You're going to see a lot more solar projects, Robert, in the future with battery storage. This is going to be a huge thing in the future. So if I can get like people in Red Lake get their heads wrapped around this technology so they can become experts, the more experts we got out there that are deploying the stuff, the better chance we get at beating that 1.5 degrees Celsius, you know, you know, kind of level where we don't want to be as a country or as a world, right?
Like, right, exactly.
We need a bunch of solar bears out there basically fighting climate change. So I got another story for you, Robert.
Okay, you got it. Go ahead, you got it.
The top U.S. solar industry trade group has issued a set of voluntary guidelines for panel manufacturers that they will not use forced labor. So you can't use forced labor in creating the solar panels overseas. Robert, we don't always see what happens across overseas and how they're building the stuff.
Right.
So the solar industry as a whole is going to set some guidelines and that they don't want forced labor making our solar panels. So I think that's a good thing, Robert.
That's a great thing. Awesome. And I mean, that is awesome. And that's the way we all got to go in a good way. So, wow. Yeah. Robert, thanks a lot. And, you know, just to end our segment here, I know when you're working up in Red Lake, we need same kind of solar panels in our high schools, same in our casinos, same in our government buildings. And so Pinigigi for leading the way and really getting the solar energy out there towards everyone in Turtle Island. And what you do is just awesome.
Thank you, everybody. I had a great call with the city of St. Paul and Ramsey County today about solar, too, by the way. We've got some exciting stuff coming out in July.
Perfect. Ooh. And we live in those two areas.
We'll be looking forward to hearing about that.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Bob Blake with the Solar News all over Turtle Island with the Solar Bear. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Wow, that was a good howl. Mm-hmm. That was one of the first good ones in a long time.
Well, Ogum is here in the studio with us, so she didn't get the howl delay.
The howl delay that I get every day.
Right. Yeah. Well, usually we talk a little a sacred animal segment here, but I thought it'd be kind of interesting, seeing that we do have Ogama in the studio, to just talk about maybe a little of the history of Native Roots Radio and when Ogama jumped aboard and things like that. But the history is, do you remember, Wendy, we started the show on a Saturdays at, was it 1 o'clock?
Yeah, 1 to 2 o'clock, and we would drive to Eden Prairie and be in the live studio there.
Yeah, and we didn't know what we were doing.
We still don't know what we're doing. We're a little bit better now. Not much.
So yeah, and so then we expanded to 2 hours, and then we were doing Pilot's Progressive Party too on Wednesdays, and then this last year we did Rock the Vote Native Style also. And so we expanded a lot with the voice, Native American voice, but also a political voice too on AM 950. Now, we're Monday since the, well, let me back up. Then, I don't know, 2 years ago, somebody sent me an email about wanting to be on the radio or helping out any way they could, and that they were a writer. And then I just said, what did I say?
You said to write something and to record it and to send it to you. And I was kind of panicked. I was like, wait, I thought maybe I could do like some editing or, you know, something in the background. But I told a story about how I used to have 2 birthdays and I timed it out and sent it to you and you you played it. And then I was on, I think it was once a month or every other week for a little while, and then it was every week, and slowly that has transitioned into me doing news updates.
Yeah, Monday through Friday. And Wendy, do you remember how you and I started? So I was kind of like quietly telling you about I'm going to be doing a radio show on Saturday, and I'm thinking, this is Wendy's Saturday. She don't want them messed with. And then what did you say?
I said, if you're going to have a radio show, I want to be on it, and I want to talk about animals. You talk to the people from AM 950 one of my animal. I was tabling at an animal event at a local college, and Robert was coming over to watch the event. And right next to me, the table next to me was AM 950.
Right.
And I talked to them and I said, you know, my husband always talked about having a radio show maybe when he retired and he wanted to have a baseball show. You always talked about having a baseball show. But you talked to the people at AM 950. Right. And I think it was like literally like 3 months later, we were on the air and had a radio show.
Yeah. And I think one of the fun stories with the animals segment too is like, I think you were on like 2 minutes in the beginning of the show. Then it went to 3.
Yep.
Then it was a whole segment.
Yep.
And here you are now, really, you know, on every show that we do and, you know, giving your expertise on our sacred animals, but also really, really helping me here because there's some words I can't pronounce that Wendy can pronounce. And I'll point to her and she'll get mad. Why are you pointing at me? And I just don't know, you know. But you're my rock of Gibraltar here. Is that how you say that?
Gibraltar.
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 The New York accent comes out for you there, Wendy.
Right.
I know. Wow.
Right. But, you know, and so it's a celebration, you know, Native American Month in Minnesota is a celebration for us and our show too, I think. And one of the things that got us going to do this show and have all these great guests over the years. I mean, we've had the governor, the lieutenant governor. We've had
Dave Hutch, the Hennepin County Sheriff.
That's a whole nother story. We had him on.
Mary Kunish when she was House Representative. Now she's State Senator. We've had Aaron Murphy on. We've had Chris Tolbert, our City Council member, sitting here in the studio with us, with our dog on his lap.
Well, now we're on Monday through Friday, and then we're also in Madison and Chicago, and now we're reaching out to our politicians and supporters and Native people in Wisconsin and Chicago now, too. So that's what's really exciting, too, about you're either growing or you're not growing. Right. And I think we've been growing from day one because that first show, do you remember what we talked about that first show?
We talked about our experience in Standing Rock because we all went to Standing Rock. So we all talked about our experience there.
Yeah. And it was a good show.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any commercials, so it's like, I remember our daughter was doing live reads, but then we couldn't say anything. So it was really like
it was hard.
57 minutes of, you know, right now, intense. There's breaks, and we can pod down and giggle and laugh. But at that time, it was like we were sweating bullets. And then I remember we were leaving, and the producer at the time said, what was that? And he goes, well, it doesn't matter. Just, you know, 20,000 people just heard you and was like, what?
Yeah. And at the time we didn't know that people really listened. So sometimes I still don't even think about it. So
that reminds me.
It gets me nervous.
That reminds me too. I saw today our first fan ever.
Yes. Tiergen and Hadley, her daughter Hadley. So
yeah.
Can I give a shout out? We're on the shout out of fans here.
Yeah,
sure.
My daughter, Anna, is at home tonight, and I know that she's not used to me being away from home. So I just want to give a shout out to her. Her birthday is next week. So happy early birthday.
Oh.
And I love you, and I'll be home soon.
Awesome.
Oh, that is awesome.
Hello,
and
Anna.
And she's a big fan, too. And we got to get her, you have to edit her to say something for us. We'll put some Indian music
and she
can say welcome back to Native Roots Radio or something, or this is the greatest show, or I don't know something cool.
She probably yell out something like, listen to my mom.
Because I don't all the time.
Such is the nature of children.
That's right.
What they're there for.
That's right. So today is like, I don't know, it's a great day to just reflect, Wendy. We've come a long way. We, like you said, we used to drive to Eden Prairie. We have a studio. We're blessed to have a studio in our house. It's not always the cleanest, but I'll work on that, I should say. Mm-hmm. But and we've had guests, and now, like you said earlier, we're all three of us have been vaccinated for a long time, so we're safe here without our masks.
Yeah. So everyone, please get vaccinated so we could all spend time together without our masks. It feels really good. It feels normal. I feel back to normal.
Yeah. Well, Ogama, how do you feel being in the Jefferson studio here?
Oh, it's great. It's great to be here.
Jefferson
Avenue. It's been a
wonderful
day.
Yeah, it has been. It really has. And it's been fun to spend some time with you. I had to check out because I do my old man nap, but you guys were bonding there for a while, right?
Mm, definitely.
Well, any last things, Wendy?
I'm happy to be here. You know, I was I had a little bit of FOMO that I didn't make it to the MMR festivities, but I will make it there next year.
So. Well, hopefully, too, what's happening now, and was interesting that State Senator said, is that now things are opening up slowly.
Yeah.
And we saw a lot of people, and they all had masks on, and we were outside. So it was a really, really a good thing. And so I want to just give a special shout out to KFAI for having our show today and talking about MMIWR and just thank you,
Peenie Gigi. Senator Mary Kunish, who came on at the last minute today, so always a shout out to her and thank you.
All right. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to mask up. We also need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. I want to thank State Senator Mary Kunish. I want to thank Bob Blake from Red Lake. Wendy Pilot, Ogama, thank you so much for being on the show. I am Robert Pilot. And if you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Stop line three.